Again, we are to have the opportunity of hearing the voice of Dr. Frank Robinson in a discussion of a topic extremely important to all of us. Important because it is the thing which governs the daily life of the entire human race. I refer to religious systems, religious beliefs. Dr. Robinson is going to reveal some startling facts about those various beliefs, facts which will make every intelligent person stop and think. This in itself is unusual. For most religious systems, honest as they are, do not want people to think, do not want them to analyze and weigh facts. They come to us, to you and to me, and ask us to accept on faith, ask us to believe one story and only one story. They say to us, here, you must take this and believe it without question. Dr. Robinson makes no such demand. He is solely, entirely concerned with finding out the truth. And in so doing, he has discovered a spiritual law and the manifestation of God in that law, so clear, so plain, so logical, that his philosophy has swept around the world, has made thousands of converts in every civilized country on the globe. Dr. Robinson calls his philosophy Sakyana. And surely such a man discussing such a tremendous subject is worth listening to. And here is your guide, ready to take you directly to Dr. Robinson's home in Moscow, Idaho.
Somehow, I always picture my arrival in Moscow, Idaho, as occurring in the evening. Sunset colors have faded in the west. Lights begin to twinkle through the gathering dusk. The pine-clad hills stand silhouetted against the calm evening sky. Up a little street, quiet and deserted now, we approach a home. Through the windows, there comes a gleam of golden light, and we see a man seated at the console of a pipe organ. Unconscious of the fact we are listening, his fingers caress the key. I compliment you, Dr. Robinson, on your rendition of that selection.
Well, I didn't know I had an audience. Come in. Have a chair.
Thank you, Doctor. You know, somehow I can't get rid of the notion that breaking in on you this way is a downright intrusion.
Oh, nonsense. You're always welcome. You know that.
Even when I keep bothering you with questions?
It isn't any bother at all.
Well, there's one question that's been bothering me anyway. I'd like to have you answer it for me. I know you can.
Well, I'm not so sure that I can. I have never posed as being a walking encyclopedia or anything like that. But what is your question, and does it concern spiritual truth?
It is a question regarding religion which has been in my mind for some time. You know, Doctor, when I was a child, being born in a very religious home, I was taught that I was a guilty, lost sinner, unless I went through an experience called conversion. But I've never been able to understand the justice of my being condemned to eternal punishment through no fault of my own. Now that you see what I'm driving at, what is your opinion of this theory? Is it true or is it not true?
Well, use your reason, and the question answers itself. And by the way, let me say to you that if the story of the fall of man is not true, then there is no need of a supernaturally revealed Savior to save him. And what we have had handed to us in the name of God is proven to be a myth and an unnecessary superstition.
I wish you would tell me where that story originated, Dr. Robinson, if you can.
Well, seeing that we're dealing with the Christian religion, let's go to the Christian Bible and see what it has to say on this subject. And by the way, if this story of the fall of man, according to the Bible, is not true, literally and word for word, then neither is the rest of it. For this book called the Bible is either the divinely inspired word of God, absolutely true from cover to cover, or it is nothing of the kind. And we had better find out. People today are hungry for the truth, but instead of being given the truth, they have been given pagan superstition to such a degree that they are sick and tired of it, and consequently are not interested in the story told in the name of God by religious organizations today. These religious organizations do not like me, but they are not able to refute anything I say. All I am after is that the true picture of God be given to men and women, and all pagan fairy stories be absolutely discarded.
Well, you think that the fall of man is a pagan myth or a fairy story, do you, Dr. Robinson?
As I said before, let's see what the Bible has to say about it. The first chapter of Genesis gives us the account of the creation of man, and in a nutshell, it is something like this. We are told that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nose the breath of life. Then he caused sleep to fall upon this man and took a rib from him and made a woman. He put this first couple in a garden and gave certain instructions to them and went away and left them there. Then there entered into the picture one of the most fantastic creatures in the form of a talking snake who engaged this first man and woman in conversation. And the result of that conversation was that God placed a curse upon this couple he had made, and that curse has been there ever since. In other words, this beautiful creation of God, by listening to a talking snake, very effectively sealed its own doom. And not only that, but sealed the doom of every created being from that time to this. Now, do you believe that?
Well, Doctor, I would not be honest with myself if I said I did believe it, because it does not appeal to my reason as being true.
And neither does it appeal to millions of other thinking Americans either. As a matter of fact, the story is not true. It is an old, anonymous pagan teaching held by other religions long before Christ was ever heard of.
What's that you said, Dr. Robinson? Do you mean to tell me that other religions before the Christian religion knew that story?
I certainly do.
Well, Doctor, will you tell me one of them?
All right. Listen. The Hindu Bible, which teaches that the savior of the world was Krishna instead of Christ, and by the way, note the similarity between those two names, it teaches us that the first man and woman were Adamo and Eva, which are practically the same thing as Adam and Eve. It has its story of the serpent and the fall of man. So you see that instead of this story of Adam and Eve being original, it was known to millions of people who were in another religion long before Christ ever appeared on the scene.
This certainly is interesting, Dr. Robinson. Why don't the religion, or the religious organizations of today, I should say, tell us about these things?
Well, that is easy to answer, for as I said before, if you blow up the story of the fall of man, with it you blow up the need of a crucified Savior. For if the story of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden is not true, then neither is the story of a crucified God coming to redeem man true either. Is that logical?
Yes, it certainly is, and I think you are doing a wonderful work in telling American people what the truth actually is. I do not imagine the church people like this doctrine, though.
Well, I do not care whether they like it or not. I am not interested in what anyone likes. I am only interested in telling American men and women and children what the actual truth is concerning this thing called the church and the philosophy it comes with us today. Next time, if you like, I will tell you something about this book called the Bible, and we will see whether it is the divinely inspired word of God or not.
Well, I certainly will be here early, Doctor, because I am one of those thinking Americans who wants the truth, and I can readily understand how those teaching this orthodox religious story hate you.
Well, you know, one of the old Bible writers said that if any man taught any other doctrine than theirs, he should be accursed. And I imagine that is the way many of them feel today. But we still have a constitution in the United States, and I happen to be an American. And just as long as I am able to, I shall fearlessly put the other side of the story on the bar of human judgment with the church's story, and then let Americans make up their own minds whether the story is true or false.
Well, Doctor, that certainly is an unusual procedure. Most prophets of religion...
Now, wait a minute. I'm not setting myself up as a prophet or anything of that sort. I'm just an ordinary fellow who's done a little serious thinking and found out that what I have discovered is true because it works for me and for thousands of other people.
Yes, and you're something else, too. You're a mighty fine musician.
Oh.
And if we have a few minutes left, I'd like to hear you play Pale Moon.
Why, I'll be glad to. Let's see. Pale Moon. Oh, yes. It goes like this.
In closing this broadcast, I'd like to repeat something that Dr. Robinson has just said. I shall fearlessly put the other side of the story on the bar of human judgment with the church's story, and then let Americans make up their own minds whether the story is true or false. It is for you to decide. And if Dr. Robinson has discovered a spiritual law which is God, a law which, properly understood and used, can do here and now the things which orthodox belief can only promise to do in the future after you die, isn't it just plain common sense to find out about it? And you can do just that by simply writing a postcard and without obligating yourself in any way. Just write to Dr. Robinson and say, "Send me the free outline of your philosophy." Address your postcard to Dr. Frank Robinson, care of the station to which you are listening, or to Dr. Frank Robinson, Radio Department, Moscow, Idaho. Include in your Moscow, Idaho address the words Radio Department so that your postcard will not get mixed up with the tremendous mail from Dr. Robinson's students.